And it's Tuesday. You know, we missed a Tuesday to get our education news, but we will not fail this time around.
Good morning.
Lynn Slanica is in the house.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, well, to be fair, we did have Joan Hunt on to talk about.
Oh, that's right. That was kind of educational.
Yeah,
wasn't
no, that was a good conversation.
Yes, it was.
Good. I always like it when she comes in.
Yeah, well, you like it because that way you don't have to worry about putting together educational stuff.
No, it's always good because I like having the three of us talk about it at the same time rather than just be one-on-one. And I like Joan anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she is. She's a very nice lady.
Yeah, she is. So let's see. News this week. I don't have a huge list, but a couple of, major things. The big thing, and two of them... Two districts on this side of the river, the other in Greene County. The first thing is Ichabod Crane has a vote tomorrow. Begins at 8 a.m., goes till 9 p.m. in the high school gym on their $7 million building referendum.
The roof.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff there.
I just keep remembering the roof.
Yeah, exactly. The Hudson had a roof referendum a couple of years ago. Yeah, roof referendum. But this one, there's a lot of technology work that they want to do. They want to install whiteboards and do some real significant infrastructure work on the technology side. They want to redo their track. So it's quite a bit of work. Now they, the total in that work will be $7 million. I believe 5.8 of it will be bonded. They're saying that this is no impact on the taxpayer kind of,
So it's a 1 hour voting period tomorrow, right? From 8 to 9.
It is. I thought it went from the morning until the evening, or is it?
Oh, you know what? Maybe I should go back to Ichabod Crane so I can learn how to read. It's 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's a long day.
I knew that. I was just testing you.
13 hours.
13-hour voting period at
one
the Ichabod
location.
Crane.
So, and actually, I have a number here for anyone who might be or is a registered voter in the district, if you have any questions. The district clerk's telephone number is, of course, 518-758-7575, and the clerk is at extension 3001. Can call there if you have any questions or you're confused about whether you're actually registered in that school district to vote. That is Kinderhook and Valencia.
Kinderhook and Valencia, and
part of Ghent too, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. And the referendum takes place tomorrow, Wednesday, December the 12th, from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Right.
At the Ichabod Crane High School.
This is an interesting time to choose to hold a referendum vote.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, and they sometimes do that. You know, one of the most notorious examples of these kind of odd votes was in Hudson. It was on. It's a few years ago now. It wasn't the roof vote, but it was the renovation vote where they did work on three out of the district's four schools. But it was on Valentine's Day, and they went forward even though they had a blizzard. I think maybe about 12 people voted.
Oh, I remember that.
That's an exaggeration, of course, but
that was quite a blizzard, though.
Yeah, it was. But it was the only reason. It wasn't tacked on to some other, usually or a lot of the times if it can be, they do it in May during the traditional vote to do. It can cost anywhere from like $5,000 to $10,000.
Wow. Yeah, is there any feel as to how the community is going to react to this referendum?
I have no idea. They have had they had at least one public meeting, and I guess it was a very there weren't, people screaming about it and upset with it. It seems as though it's something that the community acknowledges as a priority, and they want to be able to do it. They do have a little bit of money to work with. They just sold the elementary school, so they have about $500,000 there, and they also have some settlement money from an insurance. It's either a claim or some sort of settlement out of money paid into an insurance policy. So,
well, we hope to have the results for you on Thursday morning.
I'm sure we will.
When I wake up, I'll just drive over there.
Yeah, go ask them.
And ask them. So I'll be able to report it to you at the 6 o'clock news.
And the other thing, Carol Durham has appointed a new superintendent. We're actually, Ichabod Crane just announced their new superintendent choice a couple of weeks ago. He's starting the beginning of January officially, I believe. From what I understand, he's been coming and going. But in Carol Durham, they selected Mary Fassett. She was formerly with Downsville Central School District, and she was the chief administrative officer and financial officer. So she wore about three hats up there.
Mm-hmm.
She worked as director of pupil services for the Fort Ann Central School District, and she was the dean of students and art teacher for the Mechanicville Central School District. And according to her contract, which, you know, kudos out to Carol Durham Board of Ed for posting it immediately on their website, she's being paid $135,000 a year, and she signed just a little bit more than a three-year contract.
Okay.
It goes through June of 2016. So should be fun to see how that works. That district is faced with similar situation to a lot of other districts around here, shrinking population,
mm-hmm.
School census, and they're now weighing how they're going to consolidate and perhaps sell an elementary building over there.
The inter-consolidations you're hearing a lot about, but the consolidations between school districts, that talk seemed to have disappeared.
Well, I think that's the kind of conversation that will continue to happen informally and more so than formally, mm-hmm. as we move forward. I would be looking to Albany for direction on mm-hmm. how that might happen. It's a very touchy thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's a very, very touchy thing. And supposedly what the commissioners is considering is an idea where it would first be about regional high schools, about creating regional high schools.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of a variation on a larger scale of like the school, the neighborhood school model,
mm-hmm.
where you go to your neighborhood school from K to 6. Of course, this doesn't happen anymore, but K to 6. And then once you get into middle/junior high school, you move into the district-wide building and then up into high school, which is, you know, in an average district would be one high school. And but now that would happen on a regional level where you would have multiple districts sending kids to one high school.
And that's probably one of those things that is likely to become necessary, but it will probably run into a lot of resistance, I would think.
Oh, it will, and it really complicates things, because then what you're talking about is you're consolidating your workforce. You have all these teachers coming from different districts, and when you look at their employment status,
mm-hmm.
you know, seniority,
oy.
How is that configured? You know, they're coming from different bargaining units with different terms of employment.
Oh, boy.
And not to mention all of the instructional differences. And It's one of those things. I think that on some level it will be necessary in the future.
Right.
But how do
unless
you
we
do
have a
it?
Population spurt?
Yeah, I know. Unless we turn into Las Vegas.
Yes, right.
Where we suddenly have thousands and thousands of children.
Otherwise, it looks like something that may become necessary.
Yeah, exactly. And Hudson, there was a meeting last night. Some business conducted there. Superintendent Suttmeyer reported on their teacher evaluation plan. I think last 2 weeks ago I reported that it had been or it was about to be submitted
mm-hmm.
to Albany. They heard back very, very quickly. There were some changes that needed to be made. She said she characterized it as changes in semantics which wasn't, you know, and it sounds like the corrections are ongoing. So I wasn't really clear how extensive that was. But nonetheless, they're working on those changes, and it will be resubmitted to Albany within the week, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, the clock is ticking.
Yeah, and she said that if all goes according to plan, they resubmit it, and it's approved as they anticipate, they will come in under the January 13th deadline.
Okay.
I'm unaware of where things stand with other districts in both Greene and Columbia County. I'll probably be doing a little survey of that in the next week to see where things stand. But that January 13th deadline.
Yeah, I'll bet you we'll all know right before that January 13th.
We will. Yeah, yeah. Because that's buku bucks. And let's see, what else was there? There was a conversation about full day pre-K funding in Hudson. This was a cut that was implemented last year, where they cut back that program. It was kind of an odd exchange. I'm sort of hesitating on how to characterize it because it wasn't clear whether this seemed to be coming from the president of the board. Peter Moranti made the statement that of all things he would like to reinstate that pre-K.
Yeah.
Is one of those things that he would like to do. But based on what the superintendent offered in response and also the new business manager, it's just not financially feasible. Mm. So I don't know where that leaves that pre-K piece. And, of course, as we know from talking to Joan Hunt.
It's so important.
That, yeah, well, it is. It's absolutely. It's essential. But, you know, speaking to Joan, that's one of the things that Promise has really latched on to is school prep and being kindergarten ready. And
it serves so many other purposes even outside of having the child ready. Mm-hmm. A parent now has a place where the child can go during the day. To offset it, because most parents are two family, both people are working.
That's right.
So it is important. It really.
Well, and that's an important thing to note as well, because we are notoriously, and when I say we, I mean in this region, we do not have affordable, available daycare.
Right.
So between daycare and the pre-K situation, it's tough. It's tough for parents. And there are few of us who can afford to have one parent stay home full time.
Yeah. And so and care that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And the issue of Tom Gavin came up last night in very dramatic fashion. There's an account of it in the newspaper, in the Register Star. Mr. Mayberg wrote his account there.
How could it have been dramatic?
Well, it's... because a retired special ed teacher, and she is now in retirement a tutor working at the school, stood and read quite an extensive statement. She went from A to Z on the issue. Very well spoken, very well expressed. But what surprised me was that the board president allowed her to do that, because at the same time, he is steadfastly, including last night, refusing to comment on any level because it's a personnel matter.
Right. Yeah.
But yet he allowed her to read through this statement, which included a lot of details about things both past and present that are occurring in relation to this matter.
Oh.
And then on top of it, he had her submit her questions. She posed these sort of rhetorical questions as part of her statement. He allowed those questions to be handed over to the clerk, and presumably that means entered into the record.
Which means that the confidential personnel information is now not confidential.
Right. And then they of course refused to say anything officially. There was an incident apparently on Thursday at the high school where Mr. Gavin appeared. He came to visit some people. He parked in the parking lot, buzzed him, you know, was buzzed in, signed the book, and an aide went with him to visit a couple of people on staff. And there's some disputes about what happened. Apparently, there's some teachers that are feeling that they're now being pressured to make statements about their involvement with him. It's turning into a real mess.
This is one of those things that the longer you don't resolve it, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
This is not going to start unstinking. Yeah. You know, it's going to get...
That's a good line. I have to remember that one.
It's going to get stinkerer.
Yeah, it is. It's the craziest thing. And, so there's no indication of whether the board is intending to take action soon to reinstate him, or if there are other charges pending. It's all over the place.
Yeah, I see here where they once again did not give anybody an answer.
Right.
That can't go on for too long.
Right. Right.
At some point.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. At some point, you're going to have to say something.
Yeah. So that was the excitement of last night, and then they went into a very long executive session. They only had one last night, but it lasted for an hour and a half. They came back out and took some personnel action. They tenured the head of special ed, director of student services, Kim Leibolt, and did a variety of other appointments.
And this is a part that fascinates me, because when you said this week after a week before last, and it finally sunk into me what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
At the meeting, all of a sudden, they will, not all of a sudden, it's planned.
Uh-huh.
They will go into an executive session while the public and interested parties, stakeholders and everybody else are sitting there.
Yeah.
And you wait.
You wait.
You just sit around.
Right.
And wait until they come out.
Right.
And it could be an hour. It could be an hour and a half.
That's right. That's right. And they sometimes, and recently they've been doing it twice a meeting.
That is just so unusual.
And the way
I have no words for that. I don't understand it. So I'll stay out of it.
Yeah, well, in some cases, and it is, I mean, it's totally legit. I mean, it's not that it's against the law. It's not that it's a legal issue. However, there are aspects to how they do it. And in truth, you know, you have to wonder, like, what they're really talking about back there.
Well, I could see the need to have a small caucus to discuss something and then come back out. But an hour and a half.
Yeah, this one was an hour and a half. And last night was fun because I was sitting with the principal of John L. Edwards, Steve Spicer, and we had a fun conversation. So the time passed very quickly. He's a delightful person. But yeah, it can be very tedious, and this is a tradition. I don't know, you know, I've covered other districts where it isn't quite as pronounced and for as long. You know, it just seems to go on.
Yeah, that is really hard to understand.
Yeah.
I remember whirling that around in my head when you said it a couple of weeks ago. I said, wait a minute. Everybody else just hangs out and plays tiddlywinks until these guys come
out. And see, what they will tell you generally whether they're taking public action when they return. So if you don't want to wait, but generally the way they structure the agenda in Hudson is that they outline on the agenda a generic indication of what they're doing, you know, administrative tenure decision, hiring of substitute teachers, But yeah.
I'm sorry. It's weird.
Well, and just one final note on that. Last night, what happened that was unusual, actually, was that when they emerged and they did vote, and then the vice president of the board, Elizabeth Fout, offered a summary for the public about what they actually did speak about behind closed doors. So that was different. That was new.
Well, thank you very much. I just, you know, that whole that hour and a half thing just is.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
I don't know. All right. Thank you, Lynn Slonica, for bringing us up to date. Why did it just catch my eye? I'm going to have to read it. For bringing us up to date on all matters educational here on WGXE. And naturally, if you have any comments or any ideas or anything that you think we should be covering education-wise, you make sure you get a hold of us. We are a community radio station. This is.